Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Happy Friday, casual Friday. Will and Courtney checking in here on the Bad Signal podcast.
Hello.
We are already on episode 3. The chemistry is rolling. Will's getting a little more comfortable.
Yeah, I'm super comfy.
Listen, as your Boston mom, I've been really impressed.
Thank you.
I put a lot of pressure on you to come down here and really take responsibility and take care of yourself. I really stress
mind,
that.
Mind, body, soul.
Mind, body, soul. Did I say that in one of our drunken conversations?
Probably.
Yeah. There was one night that Will said, he goes, "Do you know we talked for 2 hours listening?" It was like, "No, I didn't." And you go, no. One of the conversations was an hour and 15 minutes and the other was 45. You said, you really felt the love, which I trust
you, too.
I trust you. Will has taken it upon himself to do his own marketing. You are the marketing man. You're going around. You're telling all your friends, helping produce and cut some promos and all that stuff. But you went on one of the shows in your little network of shows.
Well, I went on the big show.
Oh, you went on the big show.
Yeah.
And he said that the show is a gambling show from a unique female perspective. So that's exactly what we're going to do right now. We have 14 games to go over. There was no Thursday night game last night. So nothing to review.
Tuesday happened.
We're going to talk and we're just going to chop that up and Will still holding that Buffalo Bills
flag very high.
Yeah.
My table is still broken through. Everything is, there is an absolutely, for 4-1, top of the AFC East. I am not complaining at
How
all.
Is Ketchup Man? What's his name? Is it he's like the guy who has the tailgate and then he jumps in a pool of ketchup?
Ketchup and mustard. I forget what his name is.
I mean, that's just, when I saw that.
My dad and I, we tailgate in like a different part of, we don't.
Orchard Park?
Yeah.
What did they rename that stadium?
I think it's just Bills Stadium right now. I don't know if they have naming rights. It was New Era Field for a while.
Yeah.
But I think they're looking for somebody with naming rights. I mean, I have a computer right in front of me. I can look it up.
Anyways. That is one of the 14 games on the docket this weekend. So we're just going to motor through it. Going to give you all of our picks, notes, headlines from each game. It's going to be pretty simple. Will's going to give you the standard lines from Vegas. And we're going to do over-unders and, you know, money lines, all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, since it's a casual Friday, my good friend, now a friend of the show,
yeah,
the Rocket, Jared Carrabas from Barstool Sports, Section 10 Starting 9 podcast. That kind of confused
me. And Morning Wood now.
Morning Wood. I think that that's brilliant. Just basically like running off a little Instagram live. You know, Barstool does such a fantastic job of how creative they get with their content.
And letting their talent be talented.
That's the best part about what Dave Portnoy does. You know, Jared was talking about moving back to Boston. So yeah, he basically lives up the street. And I mean, up the street 20 minutes away.
Yeah.
Across from the Kowloon. Convenient Kung Fu Pow.
Yeah, and it was a good conversation. a little bit long, but like I said, casual Friday.
Oh yeah, no.
Kept
listen.
It casual.
He is the baseball expert to talk about and he gives us all of it from the ALCS, the NLCS. We talk about the Astros cheating scandal. We talk about how much of a douchebag A-Rod is, but he's not really a douchebag, super nice. Our love for Nomar Garciaparra, the imminent return of Alex Cora to the Boston Red Sox, because we both agree that's just going to happen. And we give some Super Bowl predictions. Jeez. See where my head's at. All NFL.
All NFL all the time.
World Series predictions. And I don't know. He's just been a really good friend of mine for a long time. We started out on a website 15 years ago, back before he had any tattoos or he had his sex appeal or he's signing babies.
Great hair.
Kissing titties.
Great hair, right?
Signing babies, kissing titties. That's probably the other way around. But he's basically the mayor of Fenway Park. He's a blank sheet. We talk for a little bit, talk for a long time. It's a great conversation. So stick around for that after we start these gambling picks.
Broncos at New England. New England's a 9-point favorite with a total of 46.5 points.
9-point favorite. That's a lot of points.
Yeah.
But here's probably a motivating factor. Drew Lock is facing his first start against Bill Belichick. Oof. That does not bode well for most quarterbacks. Vic Fangio, even, he was hesitant about naming Drew Lock the starter on Thursday, which I don't even know the logic behind that.
Whether that's a competition thing, exactly. An injury
thing. Yeah, exactly. It's his first start coming off a rotator cuff injury. The Broncos, they did put up 37 points last week, but it was against the Jets.
Yeah, we'll shit on the Jets later.
The Jets. Melvin Gordon, he didn't practice. He got a DUI a couple of days ago. He's not even playing because of COVID injuries or anything. He's just out right now. I think he's still drunk.
Yeah.
And still hungover.
Well, it has to be. I mean, he missed practice Friday due to an illness, and it was non-COVID related. So I think, probably just tap the old bottle a little too
hard. Tap the bottle a little too hard. A couple too many glasses of wine. On the Patriots side, the firepower, it starts and it ends with Cam Newton.
Killer Cam.
Killer Cam back in action for the first time in 12 days since being on the COVID protocol, testing positive. Of course, Patriots and Broncos, everyone knows they switched their bye weeks. Now, the wrinkle in all of this is that the Patriots this morning, Friday morning, they shut down their facility because they had another player, as we know now, as offensive lineman James Ferentz. He's a backup center. He tested positive for coronavirus, and they are awaiting the results of a second test. This game is still going to be played this weekend, regardless. I think that it's been understated, at least for my friend. Even I said last week, or earlier this week, my friend at NFL Films, the players want to play these games. So they are going to steamroll ahead, and I'm going to go ahead and say that Cam Newton and N'Keal Harry are going to have a monster game. I've been looking for this connection for a few weeks. I have this whole rant set up before Cam got sick about his connection with N'Keal Harry. He really looks after this kid, and it's really admirable because really all N'Keal Harry needs is a confidence boost, and damn, his quarterback is there to give it to him. Because N'Keal Harry, he is tied with Julian Edelman, 18 receptions. That is the most on the team. And listen, they're going to need everything out of that wide receiver core. Damir Bird, Isaiah Zuber, who was an undrafted rookie. They're going to need everyone full hands on deck. I think this is going to be Cam's breakout game. I am taking the Patriots with the points and the over.
I begrudgingly am taking the Patriots with the points. I think they're going to have a slow start in the first half, just because they haven't gotten to practice as much as everybody else in the league.
Yeah, you saw that effect that it had. I mean, more rest could be good, like the Titans had.
Well, we're not came talking out about a, that like game. We're not talking about
oh,
that game.
Oh, so sorry, so it sorry. Didn't happen. Oh, so sorry.
Actually, you know what?
Did I tickle your heartstrings? I'm so sorry.
You
did.
But I have the utmost faith and happiness in knowing that the
faith and happiness.
Yeah, I don't know. I just know that at the end of Sunday and Monday, well, at the end of Monday, the Bills will still be in first place mathematically, no matter what.
Okay, okay.
So I'm still happy.
Okay.
I don't care. But yeah, I'll take New England with the points, and I'll take the under, just because I think there's going to be a slow start to the first half. And Denver does have a good pass defense. Not the worst. Bradley Chubb coming off the edge. Not a horrible team, but New England minus -9.
Yeah, all Cam down. Coming off of COVID, 9 points is a rush.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm definitely not picking Denver. I'm definitely taking New England. I think this is going to be one-handedly.
Chicago at Carolina. Carolina is a minus 1.5-point favorite, and the total is 44.5 points.
Ooh, this is your love child.
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy top 10. So we have all these ideas for, like, T-shirts and shit. One is, like, what was our Buffalo Bills idea?
Josh Allen's my Lord and
Savior. Josh Allen's my Lord and Savior. Teddy top 10. I think that's going to take off. Yeah, why don't we just throw some pink on it? Sell it for breast cancer awareness. Teddy Bridgewater, an old foe, you have to remember, before his time with the Saints and now 3 in a row on a roll. Like, is anyone actually surprised? He ripped off 4 or 5 wins in a row with the Saints. So he's doing again with the Panthers. And Teddy Bridgewater is 4-1 against the Bears. With the Vikings the last time he faced them in Chicago, he was 17 of 20 with 4 touchdowns and no picks.
That's really efficient.
Extra, extra efficient. I gotta say, Chicago at that time, they didn't have Khalil Mack or Eddie Jackson or nobody. The Panthers, 3 in a row without Christian McCaffrey. We talked about this. Listen, Christian McCaffrey, I mean, stellar talent, but their offense is just different. And when they're not giving their running back 60% of the play calling, they're giving it to Robbie Anderson, who, by the way,
looking like a top 10 receiver in the league?
Fourth in the league in receiving yards, 489 yards. Fourth in the league.
Robbie top 10 doesn't have as good of a ring to it, though.
It definitely doesn't.
But he's been playing great. They got DJ Moore on the other side of him. If I'll give you my pick, I can do that.
Well, let me run through the Bears real quick. The Bears quarterback situation, not looking good. No one is on the same page. Nick Foles has an 83 passer rating. Fucking terrible. The Panthers, though, they're allowing 133 rushing yards per game. So there's an advantage with David Montgomery there. But I mean, listen, you're going to have to rely on Carolina's big play ability. Those quarterbacks, we do see that Curtis Samuel was upgraded from out to questionable.
Yeah, that could make a difference.
Could make a huge difference. So I am going to take Carolina with the spread and the over.
Yeah, no difference here, boss. Same.
All right. Something we agree on.
Detroit at Jacksonville. Detroit is a 3.5-point favorite going on the road with a total of 54.5 points.
I always like a home dog, but not this dog. I'm pretty sure that every sports writer in America, they forgot about previewing this game. It was very, very hard to even find a game preview or even the spreads and the scores.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough when I can only name one player on Jacksonville. And
his name is Gardner Minshew.
And his name is Gardner Minshew. And he's
James Robinson, he's a running back.
Okay, thank you.
And Josh Allen, the defensive end.
He plays the quarterback.
Yeah, not the quarterback. Listen, I really think that this Detroit team is super underutilized and super underrated. And coming off of a bye week, I know that Kenny Golladay, that's their number one big play threat. He had a hamstring injury for a couple of weeks. Matthew Stafford, he is basically playing to save Matt Patricia's job. Again, their first win came on the road against an Arizona Cardinals team. That was a gutsy, gutsy win. I am going to take Detroit.
-3.5.
Yes. I'm going to take Detroit -3.5. I do think that Jacksonville will cover the spread. I think it's close, but I do think Detroit's going to win this game. Maybe they can be proven as a road team. I don't know, but I'm going to take the over on the points, be only for the sole reason that Detroit's defense is so fucking abysmal in the fourth quarter. They are likely to blow every single lead that they get.
54.5 is a lot of points, and it's Detroit and
54.5. No, I'm telling you, it's all defenses are off. I'm taking the over.
Under, Detroit wins by more than 3.5. Give it to me.
Give it to me. Give it to me now.
Houston at Tennessee. Tennessee is a home favorite, -5.5, with a total of 53 points.
All right, 53 points. Tennessee, a five-day break before they play again on Sunday. I mean, they looked pretty healthy. And if you're winning 41, you know, putting 41 points in the board and beating them, listen, the Bills, again, if I'm stealing a line from Chris Long's Twitter, which I thought was funny, the Bills just aren't a Tuesday team. I respect it.
They're a Sunday team.
They're not a Tuesday team. Credit to my boy, Chris Long. I'm not trying to cross-promote podcasts, but his podcast, Greenlight Pod, is pretty good. So anyways.
What do you think about the game?
What do I think about the game? I think that Tennessee's got that herd immunity now that COVID's run rampant.
Oh, because everybody's gotten sick.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's gotten sick. And now they just, it's like that Superman kryptonite. Not kryptonite. It's like, what is it in X-Men? What they give Wolverine that like juice in his system. And it just all of a sudden, this whole thing just turns into metal.
Is that like uranium?
Didn't you tell me you asked me, time out, you were asking me if I can geek out?
Yeah, but not about that shit.
No, the only thing that I can really geek out about, I am a massive, if I have the biggest crush ever, it's Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Well, he's a great looking guy.
I would marry Wolverine in 2 seconds. Super complicated. I just, never mind. This is so stupid.
No, that's fine. I mean, shit, he's clearly got like mommy or daddy issues.
You know, Wolverine?
Yeah, Wolverine.
I love a man with mommy or daddy issues. Listen, the more red flags, the better. The more complicated, the better. Listen, dating-wise, I need, a puzzle to be figured out. Mm-hmm. I need a man that's like an onion peel. Every layer, you'll never find the center of it. That being said.
Noted.
Yeah, herd immunity.
Herd immunity, you're going to take the Tennessee Titans with the points.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Tennessee Titans with the points. You know, I still do believe in the Texans. I still do believe that they're going to be run enough of that motivation. Bill O'Brien out of the building now. Brandon Cooks had a big week last week. DeSean Jackson, I mean, he's just
Will
hasn't...
Will Fuller hasn't gotten hurt.
Yeah, Will Fuller, excellent, excellent wide receiver. Always injured. DeSean Jackson just hasn't shown me enough this year that he's capable of going in there and going on the road nonetheless.
Deshaun Watson?
Yes. What did I say?
Jackson.
DeSean Jackson. He's not playing for the Eagles this weekend, actually. Yeah, DeSean Watson. I think Tennessee, I had them picked as my Super Bowl team. I'm still going forward. I think that they're a powerhouse.
They're a wagon.
Yeah, so Tennessee, it's going to be close, but they're going to cover, and I take the over.
Okay, I think that Houston is actually going to cover those 5.5 points because of what you described, the short layoff after a long break. And I'll go with the over, too. Over 53. Unders are just not fun. Who cheers for not points?
I don't know. I feel like you got to just take a risk on one or two unders. It's almost like most of the time you're just going to bet the over, but you're going to look at that slate of these 14 games and be like, under and under.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got to pick and choose. Next game on the docket, we have the Atlanta Falcons going on the road to face the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings are 3.5 point favorite. And the total is 55.5 points. Vegas is finally adjusting to these high-scoring games, less penalties, more throws on first and second down.
Well, I think that it's timely information. Julio Jones, back in active.
Julio!
Yeah, Julio Jones, back in action with the Atlanta Falcons. I just think that they're going to stay on a roll. I don't think that Kirk Cousins... is that good? I just think he's a loser quarterback. He came from a losing program in Washington. He came from a losing program before that at Michigan State. I'm really just out on Kirk Cousins. It's not more than I'm high on the Atlanta Falcons. I'm out on Kirk Cousins. And also, Dalvin Cook is out. I know Andrew Madison. He's basically a carbon copy of Cook. I'm taking the money line with Atlanta. It's a 55.5-point spread. I'm going to take the over. Huge, huge underdog on the road.
Yeah, plus 170. I'm going to take that money line, too. I think there's great value in that pick. Because Minnesota, like you said, not good. Kirk Cousins is just a loser.
Yeah, he's just an ultimate loser. Justin Jefferson's having a breakout year. You love to see those
Despite
rookie wide
Kirk
receivers.
Cousins.
I don't know. You want to talk about someone that's not worth the money? Like Le'Veon Bell? Kirk Cousins, pretty much up there. What's the next game?
The Washington football team at the New York football Giants. The Giants are a 3-point favorite at home. The total is 43 points.
All right. This is an interesting one. I think that we have differing opinions on this. This is the stinker of the week.
This is the stinker.
The stinker of the NFC East, the poor NFC East. Daniel Jones has been struggling in Jason Garrett's scheme. Wow. Has anyone else heard that? Jason Garrett might not be a good coach, but anyone's going to struggle if... you don't have Saquon Barkley. You don't have Odell Beckham on your team. Obviously, it's been a couple years since he's been on the Giants, but he's got no one to throw to. And, you know, I really think the Giants are favored in this one, -3. I'm going to say that the Giants are going to cover the spread. I really do. I think this is going to be a bounce back game for that defense. It's going to be a bounce back game for Daniel Jones. I'm going to take the Giants and the under.
Yeah, we could not be any different.
Okay.
On this. I think that...
low-scoring game. I mean, listen, you got to account for Chase Young.
I was just about to drop that name. People forget about Chase Young. Heisman finalist last year. I think he has a strip sack. His big playability is off the charts. He's going to assert himself as one of the top defensive ends in the league very quickly. I think Washington's going to take it. I'll take the money line, +125, and give me the over. 43 points. Give me it.
All right, so you're taking that. I'm taking the Giants to cover the spread and the under. What's the next one?
Cleveland at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a 3.5-point favorite with a total of 51 points.
Ooh. A lot of people might remember the last time that these two teams played. Yeah.
Can you remind me?
Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph, helmet swinging. Myles Garrett, apparently a lot of people saying, is a completely changed man. Oh, he's so wise. The Browns, they're playing pretty good.
A quiet 4-1.
Yeah. But although, listen, I just think that the Steelers are a top five team. I know that Baker Mayfield is battling a rib injury. I think, Pittsburgh is getting 2 to 3 points at home. I'm taking the Steelers.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm
taking the Steelers with the points and the over.
Okay, I'm taking Cleveland money line. I think they're going to win outright.
Okay.
Yeah, another big game from Myles Garrett. The AFC North is really good and it's really deep. I think
it's been consistent like that for a long time.
You know, Cincinnati's obviously the worst team in it, but I mean, we'll preview that game later. But it's still top to bottom. We have to say that's probably the best division in the league.
I would say so. I just think again, now that Pittsburgh is back, I know they had a down year last year because Big Ben was on injured reserve, but the Ravens are always consistently the way that they have built that roster and continually invested in defensive talent. The Bengals, you know, they're always a wild card again, but like, you know, the Browns, they invested a lot and, you know, we should start taking them seriously. So I agree with you. It's a great division and this should be a fun one to watch.
Yeah. I think this might turn into low key game of the week, and I'm going to take, like I said, Cleveland money line plus 170. Give me the over too, 51 points.
Low key game of the week. Who are you, like an editor for GQ? You want
to
take more pictures of Baker Mayfield?
I'll put all my different hats on.
Okay, what's the next game?
We got Baltimore, -8 favorite, going on the road to face Philadelphia. 46.5 points is the total on that one.
That's a really big line. This is going to be an absolute obliteration. I think Adam Schefter just released all of the players that are inactive for the Philadelphia Eagles. It's a dumpster fire. I know I say that word all the time, but I mean, Philly's offensive line, Lane Johnson got carted off the field last year. Their wide receiver core, probably one of the least experienced groups in the league.
Of any position.
The Eagles, man. 8 points is a lot. It's a huge line, but I'm taking Baltimore with the points and the over.
Same.
Give it to me. Give it to me now.
All right.
What's the next game?
Cincinnati at Indianapolis. Indy is a 8-point favorite. 46.5 is the total.
Bengals and Colts.
Where to begin?
I have a lot of faith in Joe Burrow, and I just feel really bad for him. His offensive line is, they're like a sieve. You remember when they'd be like, goalie, sieve.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, he's literally like an open hockey net. Yeah. His offensive line. Joe Burrow is getting the Andrew Luck treatment, even getting the Ryan Tannehill treatment. You remember those days that he gave up 57 sacks that year? He's an Iron Man. He's not going to complain. He's going to go out there. He's going to have a great attitude about everything. But I think that this is the week that Joe Burrow stays on his feet. He has great pocket awareness if you watch him play, and his field vision. He plays well under pressure. I don't care about Phillip Rivers and Frank Reich and like the problems that they're dealing with. Phillip Rivers is another one of those $25 million fucking old guy, waste of money contracts. And
he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. What are you talking about?
He hasn't won shit. Okay? Phillip Rivers, I'm over it. I'm out. It's like the same shit with Tom Brady. It's like sometimes I just don't want to watch Tom Brady because it's hard to watch Father Time eat away at some of these 40-year-old quarterbacks. I'm taking the Bengals money line plus 315.
Wow.
Yeah.
Third biggest underdog on the page. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I'm taking this and I'm taking the over because I do think it's going to be a lot of points.
I think they'll cover, but I don't think they're going to win outright. I think it'll be a 3-4 point game. I think Indy pulls it out in the over. Yeah, 46.5. I like that number.
All right, what's the next one?
Another.
Well, this is the other. This is the other.
Another toilet
bowl. Ha, sigh. The other game.
New York Jets at the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins are a 9-point favorite.
The Dolphins are going to blow them out of the water. They're playing at home. And this is going to be the game where Adam Gase walks into that building at Hard Rock Stadium. He's going to get cooties and chills about how he was fired away from Miami. And he's going to walk out of that building an unemployed man once again.
A defeated Jets team.
I would love for them to like put 45 points on that Jets ass. And I would love to see Devontae Parker have a massive game. I would love to see this be the game that like Tua Tagovailoa comes in to run a couple RPOs like late in the game just to give the crowd something to cheer about.
A couple of 5-yard slants. Those would be beautiful.
I mean, like, but I don't know.
At Bama.
What could be better about, you know, the surging Miami Dolphins and seemingly their chill and relaxed quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick than with a massive win over the Jets And
getting Tua in there.
Getting Tua in there. It's 47 and a half. I just said that they're going to drop 40 on him, so I'm going to take the over.
I'm going under because this game is garbage. And I'll take Miami minus 9. This is going to be like a 21-10 game. This is just going to be awful programming.
I think that the Dolphins are going to put their big boy pants on, and they're going to beat the teams handedly that they should. What's the next game?
Your favorite team, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're at home against Green Bay.
This is a toss-up. And this is actually funny. It's like, which quarterback would you rather see play? I mean, I know that this is the America's game of the week because of the two starting quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady.
There's not even a comparison as to who's playing better right now. Aaron Rodgers looks so good.
I remember when Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady played Packers and Patriots, and people were like, oh my God, this is such a huge rivalry. And, you know, remind me how the two of them are similar. You know, outside of the numbers and just the sheer strength and productivity, I mean, it's the Phillip Rivers, the Drew Brees kind of situation. Yes. Aaron Rodgers looks like he completely changed man. Get Danica Patrick out of his bed. She sucks anyways. You know, all the rumors about Aaron Rodgers, I don't care. He's a damn good quarterback. And he's probably so happy, grinning ear to ear, watching Mike McCarthy struggle in Dallas because him and Matt LaFleur, they're on the same page. You look at the body language of them. He's laughing. He's taking his time. It's just a cakewalk for him. And he is in such a good mindset. I think that you're going to see big points from this. I mean, Tom's gonna come back and he's going to respond to every touchdown that he throws. But I'm telling you, Aaron Rodgers is going to put up big, big numbers.
I think this game,
I'm taking the Packers.
You're taking the Packers? I'm going to take the Packers too. But I think it's going to come down to how each quarterback utilizes their weapons. I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to do a better job distributing the ball to his playmakers. Tom's going to complain a little bit. Like I said, Vegas has this game either at
it's a push.
A pick'em, or I've seen Green Bay as a one-point favorite. I've seen Tampa as a one-point favorite. But we got a total of 55 points. I don't think that's going to hit. I think the under will hit. But give me Green Bay all day.
This is going to be also, too, outside of the quarterback duel. It's going to be a classic O-line versus D-line, strength on strength with the pass rush. So, I mean, it's going to be an interesting game. I like that you're saying that, you know, you're going to take the under. I'm going to take the Packers with the over.
Let's do it.
Yep. What's the next one?
We have the Sunday night game. L.A. Rams, they're a 3.5-point favorite going on the road against San Francisco. Total 50 points.
All right. I'm going to go with my gut on this one. Aaron Donald is a monster. I haven't watched too many Rams games, and I have watched more 49ers games. The 49ers defense is a complete colander, and the 49ers defense is terrible. How's Jared Goff done, by the way?
He's doing all right. He's on my bench in fantasy, but I mean, I watched, so the only game that I've watched the Rams play was against the Bills, and they were down 28-3, I believe, at half, and they just didn't look good on either side of the ball. The Sean McVay misdirection offense that we're so used to seeing, it didn't look like it was there.
I think the league has figured that out. It's the same thing. I mean, like, you know, a great defense can stop any offense, and I think that these offensive minds, you're not reinventing the wheel here. This is all based on a Bill Walsh, West Coast offense.
Oh, yeah.
So, the 49ers, they're screwed, pretty much. If they lose this game, they go up against the Seahawks and the Patriots. Those are automatic losses. So I'm going to go out on a limb and just take the Niners' money line.
Okay.
Just straight up. I'm going to say this is like the do or die game for them. They got to put something in the win column before they enter the fire. And I'm going to take the over.
I mean, this is one of my all feelings, no facts.
All feelings, no facts.
All feelings, no facts was that San Francisco is a really bad football team. I can't go one day saying they're a really bad football team and then pick them to win against the Rams.
A lot of people have the Rams.
So I'm going to take the Rams minus 3.5. 50 points under. I just don't think that San Francisco has any firepower whatsoever.
Did I say the over? Sorry, I meant to say the under. Well, I think there's going to be...
Noted.
Noted, yeah, the under. I'm going to change that in my notes right now. All right, everyone brace yourself. We're going to get in a little emotional cry session here because the next game on the docket...
Monday night, 5 p.m., Kansas City is a 3.5 point favorite on the road, playing the Buffalo Bills. 57.5 points, the highest total of the weekend.
The Kansas City Chiefs, they just picked up Le'Veon Bell. I think a $6 million deal. This deal is like laced with incentives. It's a classic old coach in the league. Andy Reid, Bill Belichick, name them, you got it. The same idea.
What have you got to lose in picking them up?
Well, exactly. It's, hey, I think that you can help my team. It's, I mean, his deal is completely incentive laced. It's all on him. If he fails, then you know, they still got their first round pick in Clyde Edwards-Helaire on that roster, who's going to be the number one guy. But I think Lev Bell, he compliments him pretty well. And Andy Reid's like, he just clearly, he wants to win. He wants to win right now. I said last week on my All Feelings, No Facts, I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs are that good. I think in this game, it's going to be a situation of the Kansas City Chiefs somewhat figuring it out. Both teams, they suffered their first loss in week five. The Bills' defense has not played up to standard. Their defense was a top team. Hey.
They've got a lot of injuries. Stop.
I don't care. Let me finish my thought, Brozif.
All right.
They were the number one team in defensive efficiency in 2019. And number two, 2018. They're 27th in the league right now.
Is that good?
27th. The Kansas City Chiefs, I think they're going to just take a step back, take a breather, get back to basics. I think their running game is going to be well complemented. I'm taking the Chiefs with the points and the over. I think Mahomes is going to have a 5-star day.
Well, a Monday evening in Buffalo for a football game. I know Buffalo is a Sunday 1 o'clock team. They have been for years.
Ketchup and mustard.
But I wouldn't be a Bills fan if I weren't irrational and didn't think that they could pull this out money line. And give me the over, too. I think this game very much relies on that rocket right arm that Josh Allen has.
Okay.
In comparison to the cannon that Patrick Mahomes has. But give me the Bills all day. 5-1. Still going to be on top of the AFC East, regardless of the outcome. So I'm not concerned.
13 out of 14 games picked.
All right, last one?
Last one.
We have the Arizona Cardinals going down to Dallas to face the Cowboys. And they are a favorite, the Cardinals, that is, a 2.5 point favorite with a total of 54.5.
I still think that Dallas wins the division, even though they lost Dak. I think they're going to go on a roll. They're going to figure it out. The NFC East is up for the taking. Their schedule sucks coming up. But, granted, the Cowboys are going to have to run the ball more. And I think that's good because the X factor in this game is that the Cowboys wide receivers have the highest drop rate in the league with 9 drops per game. So running the ball more, relying on your bell cow, Ezekiel Elliott, Andy Dalton, he's done a lot in his career, and I think he's capable, and I think that the Cowboys are going to – sorry, yeah.
Yeah, they'll cover. I think
the Cowboys are going to cover, but you take Dallas with the spread because it has more value.
Yeah, more value. You got the plus 105 and plus 110, so okay. Take them with the spread.
Yep.
And it'll give you a little safety blanket in case they lose by 2.5.
Okay. What are you taking on this?
I'm going to take Dallas with the spread. I initially thought the over, but you just talked me into the under.
Oh.
Zeke. I think Zeke's going to have a big game.
I think Zeke's going to have a big game, but I think it's also going to depend a lot on him with the time of possession. Eating a lot of clock and, keeping the ball out of the hands of Kyler Murray, even though, that guy is completely capable of making a game-changing play in 2 seconds. So. I think the Cowboys, they have no choice right now. I mean, that division is so bad.
They've got to go for it.
They've got to go for it. They've got to do it.
All right.
So done.
Gambling from a female perspective.
Interesting gambling from a unique female perspective. Courtney Fallon signing out. Here's Jared Carrabas coming up next. Oh, this is so long overdue. So long overdue. Barstool's famous, the Rocket, the man from Saugus, Massachusetts, Mr. Jared Carrabas. Welcome to the show.
It's probably been like over 10 years. It has to be. It is over 10 years.
15 years since we first met.
It was around like 2008.
2008. The backstory. I mean, you're just a big famous guy kissing babies and signing titties at Fenway Park.
Well, I actually did sign a baby. I did sign a baby. That's something that happened.
What's it like being the Rocket? How did that come about? I gotta boost your ego a little bit.
Oh damn! Like where? What do you mean in terms of like
Big Hot Rocket? Where's the origin of that?
So, I think like it basically started on like Dallas Braden is my starting nine co-host, and it basically started on his radio show as a means for me to like piss him off, because he would always talk about how like he would always talk about like his stories of being in the big leagues, and that I would try to equate his big league experiences to my like high school baseball experiences just because it would drive him insane. And so like I gave myself that nickname. Like I said that like in high school they used to call me the Saugus Rocket, which like just isn't true at all. So then his co-host Pecan thought that it was funny, so he just started doing it every day, knowing that it was irritating Dallas. And then it just kind of spilled over from Dallas's radio show to Twitter. And then like people call me Rocket more than Jared now. Like when I go to Fenway, like, which is great because Dave Portnoy is an idiot and he can't pronounce my last name right. So like I used to get Carabas all the time and it like makes me cringe. So I mean, it's just easier. Like if you
don't, Carabas the restaurant.
Yeah. Like if you can't say Carabas, then they just say Rocket. And it's like, well, that's great anyway. Like I'll take that 10 times out of 10. So.
And then you just started printing t-shirts. I mean, it's become a shtick. The Starting Nine podcast, which is fantastic. You can hear it on Barstool Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. You guys are so big. You had like a world tour unfortunately during the pandemic. What's been the most exciting spot? I mean, I'm not going to say like pick your favorite interview, but what's been the best part about, like your spring training tour? You guys are like a traveling RV.
Yeah. I think like the coolest part about doing all that stuff is that like guys know that they're safe with us. So when they come on the bus, they're like, all right, well, this is not going to be like a normal interview that I do all the time. So like they know that they're getting an ex player in Dallas. So like they'll be safe there. And in me, they're just getting like some like idiot. So they know that it's like, this isn't going to be, you're not going to be like digging for something to use as a quote card later. We're just going to have fun here. And I think the coolest thing is that when we're doing all these interviews, like we're making connections with these guys, and you know, by the end of the interview, you're exchanging numbers, you're following each other on Instagram, and then like you're talking to them for the rest of the year. So like a dude like Lucas Giolito of the White Sox, we met him spring training 2019. We did this long interview with him. Me and him like hit it off in the interview because that's when I started growing my hair. So in the middle of the interview, I was like, you have beautiful hair. Like, what do you use? Like, what's your products? Like, tell me how to get my hair to look like yours. And he like took me under his hair wing, and then like throughout the course of the season, I mean, in 2019, he had the best season of his career. So like we would talk after starts and stuff, but then we would also just like talk about like hair progress, and like you become like friends with these guys. And that's like been the coolest part, is like you build the relationships in spring and then they bud into beautiful friendships by October.
That's fantastic. Would you say that your hair now is like Johnny Bravo or Bryce Harper?
Ooh, I mean, like that's always the goal. That's always the goal is Bryce Harper.
Is Bryce Harper a sex symbol? Could you say
isn't he a Mormon? Isn't he the opposite of a sex symbol?
Yeah, no, he actually is a Mormon. But oh my God, I was on a dating app. I think I was in LA. And there was a guy that I matched on Raya. And I was like, you look like Bryce Harper. And he goes, fuck you.
Fuck you.
he was like, that's not funny. And I was like, why is that not funny? He's hot.
Yeah, he's very hot. We've had that conversation on Starry Nine before about like best hair in baseball. And the default answer is Bryce Harper, but I think it's
Jared Carabas.
It's getting there. We're definitely getting to a point where like that's going to be the discussion. But with Bryce Harper, I think the craziest thing about him is it's the same thing about the Biebs, like before he like got into like drugs and looked like a meth addict. But the Biebs, his hairstyles would change all. Like, how do you be the guy that has great hair when your hair is never the same? Like Bryce Harper's hairstyles are changing all the time. But like once I got something that worked, I was like, let's stick with this because we're getting compliments and like, let's stick to that. But like Bryce Harper's like, all right, everyone loves this. Let's do it a different length. Let's do it a different style. Let's do it a different cut. And that's when you know that you have great hair, is when you can just like be like, I'm going to wear it however I want and you're going to love it. And they do.
I mean, that's what happens when you have like $400-500 million. So yeah. You can just change your hair every day.
I guess.
Getting into the baseball stuff. Speaking of like those exorbitant contracts, we just saw for $500 million contract to Patrick Mahomes. And the NFL contracts are starting to get crazier and crazier. Is there a limit to how outrageous baseball money? I mean, is it going to get bigger? Or is there going to be a salary cap in baseball? Like, what's the deal?
So the way that I feel like my perspective on this is different than the average fan, because it's just, but it's the correct line of thinking. Like, I know it's weird to be like, you guys are thinking about this wrong, I'm the one that's right. But think about it this way. It's basic economics. Like if the sport is making X, then the players who create the sport deserve Y. And like, no one ever looks at like, oh, Major League Baseball last year brought in $11 billion. And then you want to say like the best pitcher in the game got $326 million. Like, holy shit, that's so much money. It's like, he's literally the best pitcher in the sport, and the sport brought in $11 billion with a B dollars.
That's really remarkable to me, because a lot of people say the sport is dead. And we kind of, I mean, we could get into Rob Manfred and how corrupt he is and how much he doesn't really care about the sport, so to speak. I mean, Bud Selig only really cared about bringing Milwaukee, you know, bringing a franchise back to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
He was passionate about the game of baseball. A lot of people forget that Rob Manfred was the head of the Biogenesis scandal to go after Alex Rodriguez. And I don't know if you saw Screwball the movie, but it was a clusterfuck at the end of the movie. I mean, it was just so brilliantly done, very funny. But yeah, you saw like how corrupt and how crazy it got at the end, and then he got promoted to commissioner. So I mean, what's wrong with the game of baseball? How can there be more? I mean, how can the game grow? Because the number of $11 billion, that's gonna shock a lot of people when they listen to this, because who the hell is watching baseball? It's not the younger generations. I think you and I are the only diehard baseball fans that are left in Gen X, Gen Z, whatever we are, millennials.
Yeah, we're millennials. I feel like Gen X is right after.
No, I think we're Gen. Yeah, I think we're Gen Y.
We're close. We're close.
Gen Y.
But
you're a little younger than me. But
am I?
I'm 33.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's 2 years older than me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. When I think of people that say baseball is dead, I think what they're trying to say is that baseball's boring, and because it's not dead. I mean, a sport that brings in $11 billion. I mean, if that's dead, then I don't know what that makes me. But it's, you look at the sport of baseball.
That's what it makes you.
Yeah,
it makes you Weekend at Bernie's.
Pretty much. But I think it's like those people are just, they're rooting for baseball to be dead almost, because either they just grew out of it, or they're just so diehard football. Like, football's a cult. Like, I know that football is the number one sport in this country, but it's also the most insecure sport in this country. Like, they're always trying to, and I mean hockey too, but like, football is always trying to, like, anyone that talks about how big their dick is has a small dick, and that's the NFL. Those are football fans. Like, baseball doesn't need to be like, because baseball fans, they're like, obviously, we love baseball. We love baseball a whole, like, baseball is not the sport that you just kind of like get into later in life. Like, I feel like there are people that maybe they weren't into sports at all in like high school and college, but it's like, well, in my later years, it's like, well, on Sunday it's just a thing to do. Like the NFL has a day of the week and Sunday is just a day to chill out. So I guess I got into football. If you're a baseball fan, you were born with like a baseball in your fucking hand. Like that's like they're lifelong passionate people that don't necessarily care if you like the sport or not. And I think that's part of the problem is that it's an acquired taste for sure. I can acknowledge that. And I think whereas how I mentioned like football fans are insecure, like they have to tell you how like great their sport is. And like hockey fans are like, please like my sport. But when you try to give their sport a chance, they're like, fuck you. You're not an OG hockey fan. Like the hockey fans are the weirdest. Like those people are fucking bizarre. They desperately want you to like hockey. And then when people who aren't super into hockey talk about hockey, they're like, get out. Like you're not a real hockey fan. But baseball fans are kind of just like, I like baseball. Do you like baseball? Oh, okay, you do? Let's have a conversation. And if you don't like baseball, then it's like, well, I think it's almost like a personality trait or just like the way that your brain is designed. Like baseball fans' brains work in a certain way because we are interested in a sport where it's on every single night. It's 162 games.
Yeah.
And the time in between action is long. Like you have to fall in love with the intricacies of baseball. Like football,
I feel like if I interject for a second, like I feel like watching a baseball game, it's like meditating.
Yeah.
If you don't get to, everyone's like, oh my God, the game is so slow.
Yeah.
They need to put a pitch count in. They need to, you know, cut the games down to 7 innings. No, they don't. I think, you know, of course,
football just as long.
Well, there's going to be more in the onset of the steroid era. I think we're getting back to those big numbers and players like Giancarlo Stanton who can hit fucking moonshots. You know, I think everyone loves the long, chicks dig the long ball, but
that is true, though.
It's going to get more exciting. And I feel like the league is, sorry, Mike, Siri is, I don't understand why that does that. Does your computer ever do that? Like Siri just starts. Okay. I feel like the game, do you feel like the game of baseball is in good hands going forward?
I think right now it's not in the best hands because I don't know that like Rob Manfred is the guy to sort of lead baseball into that next generation of.
He worries me. He really, really worries me.
Yeah, I don't think that he's the guy that's going to lead baseball into that next era of like a golden era. But I think in terms of talent, in terms of the product has never been better. Like you could make the case that right now there is more talent in Major League Baseball than there ever has been. Like the fact that you have dudes just blowing 100 and it's like 10 years ago, like you're from Boston.
Yeah.
10 years ago, everyone knew who Daniel Bard was because holy shit, this guy can throw 100. Like he was like a circus freak. Like wait till, like Jonathan Papelbon's good, but wait till Daniel Bard comes out of the bullpen because that guy throws 100 and everyone knew his name. Now you're almost a chump if you don't throw 98 plus coming out of the bullpen. So there's never been more talent. You have all these young superstars in their like mid to early 20s that are great now. It's not like when you call up a prospect and they're 22 years old, it's like, well, wait until he's like 26, 27. Like he's see what he's like then. It's like Fernando Tatis Jr. is 21. Juan Soto is 21. They're already the best players in the fucking game. So you have at least 15 more years of those guys. So you have this huge window to market them and promote the game to a younger audience that can identify with someone that's around their age. It's like, well, I mean, like I'm 17 years old. Look at it's Fernando Tatis Jr. He's 21. Like that could be me. And if you're not doing that, and I think the biggest thing for me, obviously, is like the highlight sharing. Like the NBA is like, yeah, sure, you want to clip off our games and put them on social, have at it. Like you're advertising our sport for free. Baseball is like, we are going to ban your account forever. Thank you for the free advertisement, but we are going to ban you so that you can never do it again. And we are going to discourage you from ever watching our sport again. And the blackouts. Like you can live in LA and not be able to watch the Dodgers. It's fucking insane.
Speaking of great baseball teams, the Dodgers, obviously, I think they're set for a pretty good, you know, a couple of years to come. But the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. Oh, the Red Sox, the Red Sox. This year was so fucking painful. Mm-hmm. It was painful to the point that
I didn't think it was painful. I was numb to it. I felt nothing. I literally had nothing but apathetic feelings towards that baseball team.
How long? I know a lot of people are talking about Chaim Bloom at the helm of this. I mean, you look at what he really did with the Rays in Tampa. They're looking like they're about to head to the World Series. Is it possible that he's can turn this team around quickly? Because here's the thing about Boston. This team shouldn't suck. This team has sucked for the last year or so. The team shouldn't suck for much longer. And they're not going to be able to suck for much longer because people here will not put up for it.
The ratings were down 50%. People just straight up said like, hey, I know you guys are doing that whole rebuild thing, but let me know when you're done with that. Cause I'm not watching this team. They suck.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And they did it in a very embarrassing way. So, what's the solution to this? Is Alex Cora going to come back, and is that going to spark, you know, the rebound for the Red Sox?
I think Alex Cora is coming back.
I think Alex Cora is coming back too. Yeah. I think he's coming back.
Alex Cora is coming back.
I think Chaim Bloom doesn't want to bring him back just because he wants to have full reign and like bring in his guy. If Ron Renneke wasn't the guy, then, you know, or he was great, but they're going to pass on him. Like, they're making a clean slate and the owners are going to step in and be like, in order for us to not lose revenue, we're bringing Alex Cora back. So how does that happen?
Yeah. So anytime there's like a new GM, it happened with Dave Dombrowski. When Dave Dombrowski first got to Boston and everyone was like, oh fuck, like he's going to trade all these prospects. Like he's going to fire John Farrell. Cause that's not his guy. Yeah. And like, these aren't his prospects. So like he has no emotional attachment. Like there's definitely a layer to that when you're a GM and you're dealing with prospects. It's like, oh, like I didn't draft these players. Like I have no emotional attachment to these guys, so I can flip them and it's not a big deal. But when you're talking about a manager, that's different. Like, oh, I want my guy. It's like, well, that just sounds like an ego thing. Like the question shouldn't be who's Chaim Bloom's guy. The question should be who is the best candidate for this job that will directly relate or connect to the success of the Boston Red Sox. The answer to that question is Alex Cora. Doesn't matter if he was here before. Doesn't matter if he's your guy. You have to ask yourself, which managerial candidate best puts the Red Sox in a position to succeed? Alex Cora is the answer to that question. So that's the guy that you hire.
Who is the centerpiece, the face of the Boston Red Sox? Is it Jackie Bradley Jr.? Is he going to stay around if they sign Cora? Is he going to hang around, or is it Xander Bogaerts or someone else?
I feel like this is Xander Bogaerts' team.
It's tough to ask that because it's like, listen, you're not going to have someone as big or as bold as Manny Ramirez or David Ortiz or Mookie Betts, so to speak. And you know, obviously they shipped him out of town, but yeah, whose team is this?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I hate the idea of putting like a C on the jersey for baseball players. I thought it was hokey when they did it with Veritek. I mean, literally they only did that because he was a free agent and they were like, all right, can you please stay? We'll give you the captain too. Like it was just like a bargaining chip almost. And it was after 2004. So it was like, well, everyone already owns a Veritek jersey. So now that we've won the World Series, let's put the C on your chest and then everyone will have to buy another Veritek jersey.
Marketing in its finest.
Yeah, but I mean, like, this is Xander Bogaerts' team. Like he's been here since he was 16 years old. And like there's a video of me from like 2009 or something. It's an old video, and it's
were
me.
You super scrawny because yes. Like, when I met you, you were like the dweebiest dweeb,
yes,
with no tattoos,
none,
super scrawny. I feel like it was just your head and your Red Sox cap. I wrote a book.
I was a skinny guy.
you were so annoying, but like you were admirable. You were cute.
I was just trying. I was just trying to find my way.
Passionate. You were so passionate.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like the sad poet writing, you know, writing about baseball. That was my role.
Yeah.
You that know, was, the Sox box.
I didn't know what I was doing back then. I was like, am I trying to do this for a job? Am I just like a fan? I don't really know.
Let's recap for everyone. So Jared and I met 15 years ago. When I was a senior in college, I was approached by a guy named Rafe Anderson, who you could say, I mean, it changed the course of my career, of your career.
For sure.
So he asked us to be bloggers for our website called Sox Heads. SAWXHEADS. So anyway, so we wrote blogs and we each had a personality. I mean, Jared was just Jared. I was the Sox Fox. I was the Sox Fox.
That's wild. And
yeah, we wrote baseball blogs and Jared was one of the first bloggers to have like a digital radio show.
Yeah.
Mary Paletti.
Yeah. I mean, like those videos, if you look for them, they're still out there.
No, they're definitely not out
there.
Yes,
they are.
I looked for, do you have the archive of the website? Because there are some, I tried looking for all of, I had 130 piece portfolio on that website and it's gone.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have, I bet you I could probably try and dig up like the old blogs, but I know that I have the old webcasts. I found those like very, very recently, like, cause I forget what I was trying to look for. I think I was like we had Dan Duquette on maybe. And yeah. I tried to find, the interview that me and Mary did with Dan Duquette and I found it. So it's that some of the stuff is out there and it's a wild trip. It's a wild trip to see like just the change in how comfortable I was on camera versus now, where back then I was super nervous. And that like the screen that you have for your microphone there, like the black screen. Yep. Yeah. So I had one of those because I had fucking braces as a 21-year-old.
Oh my God.
So I was like, I'm on video. I need to get something that's going to block my face because I have braces.
Oh, man. Yeah. So we go way back. It's funny. Yeah. Someone was saying, they're like, my phone, if I call you, it comes up as Saugus, Massachusetts, which I grew up in kind of the opposite area of Saugus, Massachusetts. So yeah. I guess, you know, that's, listen, we were eternally tied.
Forever.
Forever. Yeah.
We're almost at the point now where, in a few years, there will be more years of your life where I was in it than not.
Jared trying to lock it down. Look at you spitting game on
That's
a podcast.
Me. Yeah, I'm smooth, baby.
Yeah, you got the Bryce Harper hair. You just
it's coming in hot right now.
Game left and right. Yeah. All right, let's talk about the current baseball situation here. Truncated season. I mean, it's almost like I compare it to the days when the NFC West, one team would be like 7-9 and they'd make the playoffs because that division was so terrible. Basically, everyone made the playoffs this year, but the most interesting storyline is the Houston Astros. Mm. Those cheating son of a bitches.
Yeah.
And how the hell did they make it into the ALCS? And how happy will you be when they get their asses spanked all the way home?
So I'm not one of those big, like, I hate the Astros guys. I just hate Carlos Correa. Yeah. I mean, with the whole cheating scandal.
I used to think he was cool, but...
Yeah.
You know, I just did too many lies.
Yeah, he's – and you can tell how much this is bothering him. Like, even just – is like reading body language and, like, psychoanalyzing these guys has been fascinating for me. Like, he came on to the TBS, I think, interviewed him last night after the game because he homered. And like it was the on the field interview, and he had like the headset on with the booth, and they were like, "All right, we got Jose Altuve," and then like they asked him a question, and then before he answered the question, he was like, "First, I just want to thank you guys for having me on." It's like you're trying to come off as the polite, nice guy because you want someone out there to be like, "He's not that bad. Like he's a nice guy." But I don't think it's phony. I genuinely do think that Jose Altuve is like a good person. that just got caught up in the wrong shit. Like, I really believe that. Like, I don't think, like, there's definitely people out there that have these like phony personalities, and they're not that great of people. And I think we can put together like who I'm referring to. Both of them wore pinstripes. But I think there's definitely an element of like, because the way that it was described to me, right, with the whole Astros thing. So for like, people are like, why do you defend Alex Bregman? Is it because you want him to come on your podcast? And it's like, well, he's already been on my podcast, and he would come on again if I asked him to. But with Bregman, he was 22, I think, at the time. So he's 22 years old. He had been in the big leagues for 2 months. So I put it because, you know, I'm 31. So if I'm 22 years old and I've been in the big leagues for 2 months, and Ken Griffey Jr. walks into the clubhouse, just got traded over to my team, and he's like, hey guys, I'm in my last fucking season. I'm a Hall of Famer, soon to be. I've never won a World Series. I just came from the Texas Rangers. This is what they were doing over there, and this is what we're going to do here if you guys want to win a World Series too. Am I, as a 22-year-old that's been in the big leagues for 2 months, going to be like, hey, Ken, fuck that, dude. We're not doing it. Like, no, you're not. No, you're not. So, like, I don't say that Bregman is exempt from blame, but it's like a blame pie. Like, I don't think that every slice should be equal. Like, I blame a guy like AJ Hinch, obviously. Like, that's your clubhouse, dude. Like, you're the manager.
Yeah.
I blame Brian McCann. Like, he was the hard-o veteran that he used to scream at Jose Fernandez when he pimped his home run or something like that, and he celebrated. Like, he was Captain Hard-o, protector of, like, the rules of baseball. You were on that team, and you let it happen. You didn't say shit. Like, how are you supposed to be Mr. Hard-o baseball rules guy, and you're going to be on the team that has the biggest cheating scandal in the baseball's fucking thousand-year history? So I blame guys differently. So I don't hate the Astros. I just hate specific players on the Astros. And I think it made sense. They weren't as bad as they played during the regular season. And obviously they weren't as good as they played against the Twins and Oakland. So now we're kind of just seeing like the middle portion of that, where it's like, well, they're not really that good. And the Rays are exposing that. Like, the Rays are good, and you're going to see why, because they're going to the fucking World Series.
Yeah. Speaking of those bad guys who turned out to be nice guys, it blows my mind that Alex Rodriguez really has become America's sweetheart because of the woman he sleeps next to every night.
Because of the company he works at.
Because of the company he works at. Is it remarkable to you that someone as, I mean, like, what, you want to talk about cheaters, one of the biggest cheaters in Major League Baseball history, and it was blatantly cheating. Jesus.
Multiple times.
Yeah, multiple times. Is it remarkable that he's really become, so beloved by the country? Oh, you know, anytime that Alex Rodriguez speaks and, oh, he's so fantastic. Is that just a big PR scam? Like, I still don't get it.
Yeah. Yes, it is. I mean, I think I enjoy A-Rod as a baseball analyst. And I don't know, like, he just has this ability to charm you now.
Yeah.
I think that there's
he really is a snake charmer.
Yeah. And I think that there's an element of, he's no longer a threat, so it's easier to like him. Like, when he's not on the team that everybody hates, and especially as a Red Sox fan, like, from a personal standpoint, like, he's no longer a threat to my happiness from a baseball standpoint. It's easier to be like, all right, I can give this guy a shot. And from all accounts, like, I've probably met him like two times. And actually, I kind of called him out one time.
Well, he's business partners with Big Cat.
Correct.
So he's technically has a piece of Barstool that he owns.
No. Yeah. So the
so you better watch out.
Yeah, I called him out the first time that I met him, because he was at Fenway and the ballpark was closed, but there was a tour that they were taking down like the concourse area behind like home plate. And like fans were literally just walking up to him and like trying to like talk to him. And he was pretending to be on a phone call. Like I know for a fact that, and like, I know that move. So he's like on his phone, but, and just straight up ignoring people that are putting like a camera in his face or whatever. So the tour finally, like,
surprised he didn't have security drink around him.
Yeah.
Like, he seems like that kind of guy. Like, oh, I'm going to 7-Eleven down the street. Got to have my security with
me. Right. So the tour moves away. And then I walk up to him. And I was like, hey, what's going on? And like, he's still pretending to be on the phone. And I was like, listen, I know you're not actually on the phone. I respect the move. I was like, my name's Jared. I work for Barstool. I do a show with Big Cat. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he put the phone down. So he wasn't really on his phone. I was like, yeah, like, you know, I do. And at the time I did, I think this was 2018. Yeah. So I was like, I do a show with Big Cat. You know, I'd love to have you on Starting Nine sometime. Like I do like a baseball podcast. He's like, yeah, sure. He's like, I'll be at the office on Friday. And he was at the office on Friday, but like his schedule ended up being like too loaded to actually have him on the podcast, but he said he was down. So that's probably one of my like top three most wanted interviews. Like when he retired, I wrote like a 3,000 word blog, just psychoanalyzing his entire career.
I feel the same way about Nomar Garcia Parra. I wrote like a 5-page article on Sox Heads about, you know, how fantastic and how much he's leaps and bounds better than Jeter. And
he is.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's just a fact.
That's facts, not fiction. Let's switch gears over to the NLCS. What are your thoughts? Who do you think your World Series predictions are? And have you been enjoying the championship series?
So before the postseason even started, I had Rays Dodgers. That was my bracket. That's where I ended up. Yeah, and everyone's like,
they call you the Rocket.
Yeah, they were like, oh, so you just pick like the top like two teams? And I was like, I don't understand the people that are like, oh, you didn't have the balls to pick teams that weren't the two top seeds. And it's like, well, it's not that. It's just that I think that those are the two. Like, why would I fill out an edgy pick bracket instead of like, these are the teams that I think are going to actually get there. And, you know, after the Dodgers win last night, they have Clayton Kershaw on the mound for game four. I mean, it's very plausible that I'm going to end up being right with, you very well could have the Dodgers and the Rays in the World Series. I mean, you're going to get the Rays, so at least it's half right. It's 2-1 now in the NLCS, and you like your chances with Kershaw on the mound, albeit with the back spasms. But yeah, I mean, like, I don't know that from like a social media standpoint, this postseason hasn't had a lot of juice. You know, like you can get the sense, like obviously 2018, that had a lot of juice because I'm a Red Sox guy and the Red Sox were in it. But even just last year with the ALCS, with the Astros and the Yankees, like that ALCS had a lot of juice. And this
also has a lot to do with the pandemic and the collision of,
you'd think that more people would be on their phones then. Like, if
you know what, I had someone saying this in the summer when you had hockey matinees, baseball games, basketball games all around the clock. Then you know, you're talking about football because football season was starting. People were like, oh, there's too many sports that are going on. Are you too many sports? What are you talking about? Like, but I think that baseball is just at an extreme disadvantage, at least right now, because no one's really going to be focusing on them when all of their attention. Yeah. You know, all the bro bros, talking about their football teams and worried about coronavirus.
Yeah. I mean, I think you could have had great matchups and it just didn't line up that way. Like if you got Yankees Astros again, that gets a lot of juice on Twitter. And if you had gotten Astros Dodgers in the World Series, like the world would have exploded for that. And now you're going to get Braves Rays or Dodgers Rays. And I don't know that anyone's going to go crazy about that matchup regardless. But I mean, I think people will maybe tune in to see Kershaw get a ring if that's the case. But I mean, there's no real juicy storyline with Tampa. You know, it's just like, oh, it's the first World Series in franchise history. But it's like, well, who fucking really cares about that? Like, the people in Tampa don't even really care about that. So,
Do you think Clayton Kershaw has been given too many chances? I mean, like, they've literally been to the brink of a World Series three times, losing in a row. You think that? You think he's been given too many chances?
No, I think the whole perception that Clayton Kershaw is not a good postseason pitcher is like is wrong. Like he's inconsistent. Like, he's had great starts. Like, there was that's why I would be furious if I were Clayton Kershaw. Like, that's the dude who has the right to be the most upset about the Astros cheating scandal in 2017, because he dominated in game one in LA. And then I think it was either game four, maybe he started game four. That was in Houston, and he got his doors blown off. And then he came out of the bullpen in game seven and pitched great in LA. So they were stealing signs in Houston. And if you're Clayton Kershaw, and that game four where he gets rocked by Houston, if they're not stealing signs, he's probably still dominating like he was in game one.
Yeah.
And no one is talking about Clayton Kershaw being this playoff bum if in the World Series he dominated in two starts and came out of the bullpen in game seven and dominated and won the World Series. Like, everyone's talking about 2017 as that was the year Clayton Kershaw like established himself as an October legend. And instead, the Astros cheated. So they lose that one game, which you could say cost them the whole series and cost him for now his legacy of what people view his postseason like resume as. So I don't think there's anyone on planet Earth that has the right to be more upset about the Astros cheating scandal than Clayton Kershaw.
I don't blame you. Who is, I mean, I can already answer this question. David Ortiz, talk about, oh, look at your eyes lighting up. Talk about
my guy.
I mean, it's a hero. Actually, 7 years ago, yesterday, 2 days ago, it was the 7 year anniversary of his Grand Slam. Yeah. I mean, there is nothing that I love more than watching Red Sox highlights. And you want to talk about a true baseball fan? It's just like, I just get, oh my God, like, you know, and I hear Joe Buck, and David has just been so instrumental in, I don't know, keeping Red Sox Nation together. But I mean, he's such a special part of everyone's love of the game. And I mean, he loves you.
Yeah, he, I actually have that tweet framed. He sent me a tweet saying that he loved me. And I tweeted something like, I want to frame this tweet. And there's a company that's what they do. They frame tweets and then they send them to you. So they must do like Twitter searches for people saying, I want to frame this tweet to like promote their business. So they reached out to me and they were like, hey, if we send you this tweet framed, like, will you post it and like tag us? And I was like, fuck yeah, I will, dude. It's, I think they sent it to, that was from like 2017 or 18. I've had it for like 2 or 3 years.
I need to, Tom Brady wished me a happy birthday and tweeted right, like really right when he joined Twitter. So I might have to,
yeah, get that framed. Get that framed.
Get that frame. Literally, speaking of, like, can we talk about your studio and talk, you know, framing shit on the walls? You have like 18 TVs in your studio.
Yeah. So,
are you happy you moved back to Boston? Well, clearly, because you have like
I've never been happy.
10 times more space than you did in your closet in New York City.
Yeah. You never saw my apartment in New York City.
No, because every time we tried to go hang out, you just would blow me off.
That's what I do.
But you lived in Murray Hill. I was like, I'm not going to fucking Murray Hill.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah. You would always be like, yeah, come to like this fancy place or come to that stupid rich white people part of town. And I'm like, no, I'm all set with that.
Society, girl. I'm a fancy gal.
You have expensive tastes. And I literally lived amongst like the college kids in Murray Hill.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing at all. I loved my neighborhood in New York, but I'm much happier here. I get to have a car again. Like, I didn't have a car for 3 years when I was in New York. I mean, like, I kind of just, I had that conversation with Dave being like, you know, like it's the pandemic. Who knows when this, like my lease was up at the end of July. And I wanted to get out of New York, but I was like, well, when, if I got to wait for a Boston office, which I don't think, and there's no fucking way that that's happening anytime soon.
No, like, I mean, especially, right, like, especially now.
Yeah. It's like, so I got to wait for a Boston office to go back to Boston. I'm not doing that. And then I was like, well, my lease is up at the end of July. And like, when am I ever, like, which year is it going to make sense for me to move from New York City to Boston in the middle of a baseball season? Yeah. Like, that's, there's never, I was like, this is my chance. Like, there's no baseball right now. Like, this is a fucking once in a lifetime opportunity to, like, basically Irish goodbye New York City. and that's what I did. I was like, all right, I'm going to go. And Dave said to me, he was like, well, I think if you go back to Boston, that it'll be a step backwards for you. So I resented that claim. And
it drive you, you know, it made you motivate more.
Yeah. I mean, like, so I came back to Boston. I built this studio, which it's an exact replica of the studio that they have in New York City.
Yeah.
So like, you guys have like these generic podcast studios, and I think KFC Radio and Pardon My Take have custom studios where it's like their backgrounds look like, yeah, you know, they're customized like their shows. So I was like, I'm going to build one of those fucking things. So yeah, for my shows, and Dallas might actually be considering moving out here. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but I'm going to have like a custom Section 10 set. I'm going to have a custom Starting 9 set. And, you know, he's like, yeah, I think it's going to be a step back. So I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to add more shows. So then that's when we came up with Morning Wood. So
I like those clips. Those clips are really good.
Do you
write them? Like, you, or you have someone like helping you write them?
No, I mean, I do those at fucking 1:30 in the morning. So,
oh, really?
Nice. Yeah, every single night they're edited at 7 a.m. So like, I have the option to like wake up at 6 and then do them, which is just not going to happen because I'll start watching the games at 7 and then I'll watch all the whole slate of games every single night. And then when they're over at like 1:30 in the morning, I'll fire up the camera and I'll do the videos and then I send them to my producer and then she wakes up in the morning and she edits them. So
nice.
Yeah, it's I am doing significantly more because I live in Boston and I don't have the distraction of the office. Like, they posted a video yesterday of like 10 people that are full-time employees were just standing around in a circle, flipping a dildo in the air to see if they could get it to land like straight up in the ground. It's like,
that's a Josh Wolf comedy move. He does.
Yeah,
that
I love Josh Wolf.
Josh Wolf is Boston guy.
But it's like, tell me that that's more productive than like doing a whole fucking baseball video show every single night. Like, it's not a step back. It's a step forward.
My last couple of questions. Do you like my sweatshirt?
I can't see the
top. I bought this. Bought this sweatshirt.
American what year
League
is that?
Champions.
Is 1991. That the 90? 91?
91. And I bought it. I mean, I collect vintage sweatshirts and t-shirts and stuff. This is one of my favorites. But I bought it and I was like, this is definitely one of those years. You know, like the Patriots losing the Super Bowl, so everyone wears the AFC Championship, but they actually won in 91. So
yeah,
I think my sweatshirt's better than your Cowlin sweatshirt.
I think my Cowlin sweatshirt is the best sweatshirt in the game right now, but I do like the throwback Minnesota Twins shirt. I feel like you should probably try and find one from what you were born 87.
87. Well, here. Speaking of.
Look at that.
What? Yeah, something. Listen, that's why they're just parked right here. You ask and I receive. All right, we're finishing this up. Jared Karabas, why are you so historically bad at rocks, paper, scissors?
That was crazy because, like, it is a game of chance, but like, there is also there is a skill to it, which I figured out later on.
No, there's not. There's, first of all, you watched 25 in a row. 25 in a row.
30.
There is.
But
wow.
But I won my last 13 straight.
Okay, so you kind of try to figure it out.
Oh, I figured it out. Like there is a skill to it, and there is a like a small, I guess, like there's an edge that you can have for sure. But I thought that, like, I mean,
it's like a really nice, like, pandemic kind of shtick, but
yeah,
the shtick wound up being like everyone's gonna shit on Rocket because he's so bad at this game.
But like,
of chance.
That was what was crazy, because like the skill, like the mental part of it, can really only get you to like game five. Like once you get to game six, game seven, then it really is a coin toss, because like all bets are off. And like I think it more applies for like a best of five series. But once you go best of seven, it's just like people are like there were 15 fucking series that I lost.
I lost
game seven like every time. That was like me just having bad luck. But before, I couldn't figure out like the strategy behind it.
All right, so we're fanning the show with the rocks, paper, scissors, best of five.
Ready? Oh, best of five? All right.
Ready? Okay. Okay. Rocks, paper, scissors, shoot.
Yeah, see? Yeah,
okay, so you won. See? Okay, ready? That's your thing. Okay. About it. Okay. Yeah. Hold on. Rocks, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay. Tie. Stop thinking about it. Why are you waiting?
Because there's a
strategy.
Yeah.
Listen, we got to
finish out of this. Ready? Have I lost yet?
No, you're up 1-0. Ready?
Yeah.
Rocks, paper, scissors, shoot. I got you. Rocks, paper, scissors, shoot.
All right.
I cut you.
That's 1-1. All right, 1-1. Okay.
You're getting yoga breaks here. All right, so it's time.
Yeah.
Rocks, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay. Rocks, paper, scissors, shoot. Rocks, paper, scissors, shoot.
All right, 2-1 me.
Okay.
Last
one. Right. Ready?
Yep.
Time. Rocks, paper, scissors, shoot.
Damn it. I was going to go scissors too. I was going to. So like, so.
No. First of all, we got to keep going. Don't explain.
Okay.
There's no explanation. Right. Just keep going. Right. Rocks, paper, scissors, shoot. Rocks, paper, scissors, shoot.
And I win. See, there is a science to it. And I would have beaten you sooner. If that was a best of seven,
I would have come back. You would have lost.
I would have beaten you 4-1. I read you like a book. I'll explain to you all my philosophies off the air, because when I come back,
no one can steal it.
When Rock Paper Scissors season two comes back, I can't have. Major League, but think of it this way too, right? Like if you're a Major League Baseball player, like isn't every at bat almost kind of like rock, paper, scissors? Like you're trying to be like, all right, so he just went fastball, curveball. It's a 2-1 count. Like, does he throw me a hook here? Like, I don't, like, it is kind of, it's a lot like that.
Have you inquired and asked baseball players on your podcast that? Or are you I feel like you need to build your theory and your thesis and then present it.
Yeah, I think Tyler Glasnow, if the Rays can clinch tonight, then they'll have some off days before the World Series. So I'm going to have Tyler Glasnow on the podcast, who pitched last night, and we did a rock, paper, scissors with each other. And the wager was the loser has to jump into the Rays tank in Tampa, and I beat him. So
that seems very scary.
R.I.P. Steve Irwin.
Last thing, just and then we'll sign off. World Series prediction. Who wins? I'm going to say the Rays beat the Dodgers 4-2.
Wow. I'm going to say Rays, Braves, Rays and seven.
Rays, Braves, Rays and seven.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So it's just, I mean, it's going to be title town in Tampa. I mean, Jared Carrabas, do you want to plug anything? Well, you just said that you're going to have Tyler Glasnow on your podcast. Thank you so much for joining the show.
Hey, thank you for having me. Let's do this again sometime. Hey, you know what? Now that you're down the street, I got three different mics here. We can, like, let's do a crossover podcast episode right here in the
studio. I would absolutely love. And then we'll put it on Patreon and make people pay for it.
Love that. We can put it on OnlyFans.
Dude, that is something for another day.
I mean, that's going to be my off-season project as I'm starting.
But like, literally, should I be the podcast star on OnlyFans?
Yeah.
Oh God.
And you make 50 grand a month? That sounds pretty good to me.
I don't know. I got to talk to my representation about that. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was fun. Thanks so much to Jared Carrabas. I love catching up with old friends, especially since we're just so not a baseball podcast. I'm pretty sure that his two podcasts are the best and some of the only podcasts nationally that just garner so much attention, and rightfully so. As good as he is as a writer, a sex symbol, the king of Fenway Park. Listen, it's not a sex symbol in my eye, but you know what I'm talking about. He really sucks at rock, paper, scissors. But I get what he's saying. There is a rhyme and a reason to it because I was doing it in my head. He should be on Ocean's 11, like picking cards and winning games. Speaking of winning games, thanks so much for listening to the podcast, our little gambling podcast with a unique female perspective. I hope you have a great weekend this weekend and go out and win some money. Tell us about it. Tweet us, write us. We'll see you next week.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.